Okay, I'm recording as well. Yashikoyach, everybody for coming. Michael, thank you for coming in person, keeping me company. Thank you. You could take all the cake for yourself. Tonight's shiur is the title is Aveda Midas. Aveda Midas, as we will see, could mean a few things. It can include a few meanings. The literal translation in this context is aveda midas, that he deliberately, knowingly, and deliberately abandoned his property. It's an aveda midas. He lost it knowingly, willingly. He left it in an unsafe place. And the question is, what's the status of that? So let's look at some of the Marmekoimis, and we're going to see a fascinating machlokes between the Rambam and the Tur, what the status of an object is. If it's an aveda midas, if the owner deliberately left it out in the open and abandoned it, we'll see a machlekes about that. And we're also going to explore if the expression aveda midas means the same thing in all the places where that expression is used in the Gemara. And we'll see a fundamental machlekes about that as well. So let's go through the sugyas together. So in item Aleph, so I just gave an intro, that we find the expression aveda midas a few times in the Gemara, and let's explore if the expression means the same thing every time. So the first Mara Mokum, the first time we find it in the Gemara is a Gemara in Baba Metzia, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So let's just give some background, and it'll be useful for as we go further as well. The halacha is, as we all know, if a Jewish person loses an object, and the object is identifiable. So we have a mitzvah to pick up the lost object and care for it until the owner presents himself. We have to announce that we found something, give people a chance to identify the object, and then we have a mitzvah to return the lost object. Now, if the object is not identifiable, there's no simen, there's no recognizable feature, there's nothing that the owner could possibly supply us with to identify, to prove that it's his, so it doesn't have a simen. So the halacha is as follows. I still can't keep the object because the object doesn't belong to me. We would have to wait for the owner to have yish. We would have to wait for the owner to despair. Once the owner despairs, so then it's as if he was mafker, it became hefker, and therefore I would be allowed to keep the object. The catch to all of this is that if I pick the object up before the owner despaired, before the owner is aware of the fact that he lost the object, so he couldn't have possibly despaired, because I picked up the object before the owner realizes that he lost it, even though he's going to despair, he's going to be miyayish, because there's no way he could possibly identify it. But I already became obligated to hold on to the object until Eliyahu comes and return it to the rightful owner, and I can't keep it. The only time yish works, the only time if he despairs about getting it back works, is if he despaired before I picked up the object. But if he doesn't despair until after I already picked up the object and became obligated to guard and protect and return the object, the yish will not work. So let's bear that in mind. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says in Baba Metzia, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara asks a question, Lama Peres Mufuzarin Shaloi. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to keep scattered fruit. Asks the Gemara, why are you allowed to keep the scattered fruit? If I pick up the scattered fruit, the owner might not yet know that he lost the fruit. Maybe the fruit fell off his cart while he was driving along, galloping along. And maybe I pick up the fruit before the owner realizes that he lost it. I already become obligated to return it. And if and when the owner realizes that he lost it, it's too late because I already became obligated to return it. So I have to hold on to the fruit until Eliyahu comes. I would have to sell the fruit. I would have to save the money. I'd have to protect and make sure that I have what to return when the time comes. So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Hacha b'machnashta de'bizri askinat. We're talking about a threshing house, the aveda midasi, where the owner left a certain amount of grain behind, and he deliberately left it behind. It's not worth his while to come back and collect the grain, to gather the grain. So the reason why you're allowed to keep it is not because it's a standard lost object, because that would not enable me to keep it, because the owner might not be aware that he lost it, and I might be obligated to return it. The reason why I can keep it is because clearly the owner abandoned it. He left it behind in the threshing house. It's on the floor of the threshing house, and it's not worth his while to come back and get it. That's why I can keep it. And the Gemara uses the expression aveda midas. So this Gemara would seem to be a clear indication that the expression aveda midas means that it becomes ownerless and it's free for the taking. Okay, there's another Gemara, which is a similar Gemara, the Gemara in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, also in Elu Metzias, in Bab Metzia. Omar Ma, the Gemara asks a contradiction. On the one hand, the Braisa says, Chavya shel yayin v'shel shemen v'shel tfuah v'shel groigris v'shel zeisin. If you ever find barrels of wine, oil, grain, figs, olives, the halacha is you can keep them. The reason why you can keep them is because they don't have any identifiable feature, so we assume the owner was Miyash. Asks the Gemara of Ahotnan, Kadi yayin v'kadi shemen chay v'hachras. There's another Braisa, the Mishnah, which contradicts this Braisa, because the Mishnah says that if you find jugs of wine and oil, you have to announce it, which means that there is some kind of identifiable feature on the barrel, and you do have to return it. So answers the Gemara, Omar Rab Zeira, Omar Rab Masnisin, the Mishnah is talking about Birushim, when the barrel is sealed. Since the barrel is sealed, that's an identifiable feature. Perhaps Tosfos there explains, because each person seals the barrel in his own way, he could recognize, he can identify how he sealed the barrel, and that's why you have to return it. So asks the Gemara, Mechlal de Braisa Bipasuach, if the differentiating feature here is that the barrel is sealed, that means that the other case where I can keep it, the barrel, is open. So asks the Gemara, I Bipasuach, if the barrel was left open, Aveda Midas, again the Gemara uses that expression, he left it deliberately, he abandoned it deliberately. Rashi explains that what the Gemara means to say is that it should be obvious that I could keep the barrel, because if he leaves a barrel of wine open in a public place, in the Rishus HaRabim, so Shkatzim, Ramashim, animals can get in there, snakes can get in there, dirt could fall in there, whatever it is, and therefore, of course, he abandoned it because he left it open, he left it hefker. So this would seemingly be another example of aveda midas. The Gemara uses the expression aveda midas, similar to the first example where clearly the owner abandoned the object, and it's free for the taking because the owner left it there, he left it open, he left it hefker, he left it in an unsafe way, he was reckless with it, he abandoned it, and it's free for the taking. There's another Gemara. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia, Chaf Hei Amid Beis, if you ever find a utensil, an item of value, that was tamun ba'ashba, that was hidden in the garbage dump. So it was hidden in the garbage dump. It wasn't thrown out. It was hidden in the garbage dump, meaning that the owner, for whatever reason, needed a hiding place for the object, and he hid the object of value. Maybe you found a sack of money, maybe you found some kind of treasure chest, you found something of value, diamonds, jewelry, whatever you found. There was something that was clearly hidden away in the garbage dump. So the Gemara says, you have to pick it up and announce it. Shekein derech ashpa lefanos, because the garbage dump might be cleared away. So the Gemara says some details, it depends what exactly you found in the garbage dump, but asks the Gemara, ashpa suya lefanos, if the garbage dump is going to be cleared away, aveda midasi, then he abandoned it deliberately. Even if the object has value, if you put something, if you hide something away in a garbage dump, and the garbage dump is periodically cleared away, that's abandoned. That's an abandoned piece of property. So rather, the Gemara says the case was that the owner put something in the garbage dump, which is usually not cleared away, and then the government, the city, the municipality, decided to clear it away, so it turned the secure object into a lost object. Now it's a mitzvah to protect the owner's object, and that's why you have to return it. But here's another example where the Gemara declares that if a person hides something in a garbage dump where it's common for the city, for the municipality to clear away the garbage dump, for all intents and purposes, he abandoned the object, and you should not be obligated to return it. The Gemara says you found something hidden away in a garbage dump, you're required to pick it up and seek the owner. Asks the Gemara that if the garbage dump is commonly cleared away, then it's an aveda midas, the owner deliberately abandoned it, and you should not be required to return the object. Now, mind you, the Gemara does not say in this case that you can keep the object. The Gemara simply says, and the Paiskim are going to point this out, the Gemara simply says that you shouldn't be required to announce it because the owner abandoned it. It was reckless of him to put something into a garbage dump that's periodically cleared away, and you don't have an obligation to pick it up and announce it and return it to the owner. But the Gemara does not say that you can keep it in this case. So let's bear that in mind. So that's the third case where the Gemara says, Avei de Midas. So the first two cases are clear that the intent of the Gemara is that the owner abandoned it, and the Gemara seems to conclude that would enable you to keep the object because the owner abandoned it. The third case is not so clear. The Gemara does say that's an Avei de Midas, but the Gemara doesn't clearly state that you can keep the object. The context of the Gemara is that you should not be required to return the lost object. We don't know if you can keep it or not. That we have to soon see. There's another Gemara in Baba Basra in a completely different context. The Gemara says, "Hashaleach has beno etzel chenvani upundin biyado." Imagine if you send your son, a child below the age of bar mitzvah, you send him to the store, you gave your son some money, and you sent him to the corner store to purchase some goods, some groceries. Umodad loy beisr shemen. So the Gemara says there, this is a Mishnah in Baba Basra. So the storekeeper, he measured out for an isr, for a certain amount of money, some oil. And he gave the oil to the child, because the father sent the child in to purchase oil. The storekeeper gave oil to the child, and he gave him change for the pundian. The pundian was 2 isarim, it's a 2 coins worth. It's a pundian, it's a big coin. The merchant took the big coin and gave the child change together with the goods, with the groceries, the oil, and the child was going to bring home the groceries and the change to his parents. So the Gemara says, Shibris atzluchis, bi'ovet eso iser, if the child breaks the barrel, the jug, and loses the change, chanvani chayiv, the storekeeper is chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says that the storekeeper is exempt, she'almanas keng sholchu, because the father, after all, sent the child to the store, and the storekeeper had every right to give the goods to the child. So the Gemara explains that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda both agree in principle that if the father would say to the storekeeper, please send the groceries home with the child, everybody would agree that if the child loses it on the way, the storekeeper would be exempt. I released the goods to the child at the behest of the father. The machlekes is, in those days, what was the intent of the father to send the child with the money to the store and ask for oil? Was the intent, in fact, that the storekeeper should send the goods home with the child? That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, and that's why if the child breaks it, it's not the storekeeper's problem. The Tanakhama, the first opinion, holds that the intent of the father was merely to inform the storekeeper that he needs oil. It was essentially to place an order, and the storekeeper should deliver the oil. He should have delivered the oil through a responsible adult to the father's home. So the father sent the child. He sent him with some money, but the intent here was not that the storekeeper should give the goods to the child. So the Ramah says that if the common practice is, and I believe that nowadays, if a child would come into the store and purchase something, the storekeeper would give it to the child and the child would go home. That's probably common practice today. And the Ramah says that if the practice changes, if that becomes common practice, then everybody would agree the storekeeper is exempt, he's not responsible. But in those days, there was a machlekes what the intent of the father was. Was the child actually supposed to pick up the goods and bring the goods home himself? Or should the storekeeper have sent the goods through a responsible adult? He should have delivered the goods. The store offered that service of delivering the goods. So says the Gemara, though, that everybody agrees that if the storekeeper takes the jug, if the child himself comes in with the jug, and the storekeeper takes the jug and fills up the jug with oil and returns the jug to the child, and the child breaks the jug, the storekeeper is certainly exempt for the actual jug, for the container, because that the father for sure sent along with the child, and since the father released it into the possession of the child, that is certainly an aveda midas. That was certainly has the status of abandoned property, and the storekeeper is certainly not more responsible to watch the jug than the father himself, than the owner himself was. So imagine if you are the storekeeper and you give oil and change to the child. So then the Tanakhama says you're liable because you should have realized that you should have sent the change and the goods through a reliable party. But on the jug itself that the father sent along with the child, for sure the storekeeper has no obligation to protect that jug. If the child breaks the jug, that for sure is the father's problem because the father himself released the jug in the hands of the child. The same thing would apply if the child lost the original money. Of course, you can't obligate the storekeeper. The father sent the child along with the jug and with the money, and there's no obligation on the storekeeper to at all protect that property, the jug or the money. That's the father's problem because he entrusted the jug and the money with the child. And again, the Gemara uses the expression aveda midas. It's essentially abandoned property. If you give a jug to a child to go to the store, and the jug breaks, even on the child's way out of the store, that's certainly not the storekeeper's problem because it's abandoned property. The storekeeper has no obligation to protect the jug and to guard the jug from the child. Okay, so we have over here five examples where the Gemara uses the expression of aveda midas. I cited two of them, but this another example that's similar to the first two. We have the first two examples where it seems that the Gemara allows you to keep the object. We have the third example where the Gemara says you're not obligated to return the object. And then we have, in item Hey, we have the fourth example where the Gemara says that if an adult sends something along with a child, there's no obligation on the storekeeper to protect the articles that the child came into the store with. He's not allowed to release something into the possession of the child because the father's intent was to send it home, but you're certainly not obligated to protect the objects that the child comes in with. Now, there's a big machlokes, the Rambam and the Tur. The Rambam says the following. In Hilchos Gzeila Va'aveda, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam says the following. Hama'ambet b'moyne ledas. If a person is reckless with his own money, you're not obligated. There's no obligation to return the object to the owner. Ketzad. Imagine if an owner leaves his cow in a corral and leaves the door wide open. Anybody passing by realizes that the cow could wander out and get lost. Nobody's obligated to retrieve this cow and watch it and return it to the owner. It's the owner's own fault. The owner left the corral open. It's his own fault. It's an aveda midas. If a person, says the Rambam, he throws his wallet into the Rishus HaRabim and he abandons it, says the Rambam again, there's no obligation to pick it up and return it. The person is abandoning his own money knowingly, says the Rambam. The Rambam clearly says, even though it would be forbidden for a finder to keep this object for himself, you saw the owner toss his wallet into the street, or you saw the owner leave the corral door open to his cow. I think a modern example would be an owner, he leaves his car running, he double parks, he leaves the car running, and he runs into the store, he wants to go buy something. So you're under no obligation to stand there and protect the car. The owner abandoned the car. However, says the Rambam, you would not be allowed to get into the car and drive the car off. You can't say that the owner declared the car ownerless by leaving the car running outside the store and running into the store, even though it's reckless, even though someone might steal the car. But that doesn't mean that the owner declared it ownerless and that you can just walk off with the car. The Rambam is saying clearly that the owner was reckless and abandoned his property. You're under no obligation to protect the property, but you would not be allowed to take the property for yourself. That's the Rambam Shita. The Magid Mishnah, when he's explaining the Rambam says the following. Gamzeh Poshet. The Magid Mishnah says that what the Rambam says is obvious, and the Gemara says in Elul Metzias. So the Magid Mishnah quotes the Gemara that we quoted earlier. This was the Gemara about the garbage dump in item Dalid that we had before. Says the Magid Mishnah, it says in Elu Metzias, Gabi Ashba Asuya Lafanis, regarding the garbage dump, Aveda Midas Pirish Ve'enis Kakinla. The Gemara just means, the intent of the Gemara, the context of the Gemara, is that since the owner abandoned his object in the garbage dump, again, we're not talking about a case where he threw it out. He was hiding it there. He was keeping it there temporarily. If he knew that this garbage dump is periodically cleared away, it's an Aveda Midas, Enis Kakinla. You're under no obligation to return the object because you don't have to be more careful with his object than he was. If he put it there deliberately, you don't have to be more careful with the object than the owner was. And it's an Aveda Midas, Enis Kakinla. And the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam that the Rambam holds that just because you don't care to protect your own property, there's no indication that you declared it ownerless. You were reckless with it. That's how you choose to behave with your money. It does not mean that you declared the object to be ownerless. You left your corral open. You left your car running in the street and ran inside. It was clear that you did it deliberately. You put something, you hid something away in a garbage dump that's periodically cleared away. All of these things you knowingly, willingly risked your money. So I'm not obligated to return it. I don't have to be more careful than you. But on the other hand, I can't keep it for myself. That's the Rambam's opinion. If you notice in item Vav, the Rambam actually cites a brisa. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. The Rambam cites a drasha, shenemar asher toivad. He lost it. Pratlam abed taitoi. This exempts you from the laws of returning a lost object. If the person deliberately lost it on purpose, that exempts you. You're under no obligation. But you can't keep it. That is the Rambam's opinion. The Tor in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Reish Samach Aleph writes, Kosef HaRambam, Afo Pisha Ein L'Roya Little Latzmoy, the Rambam writes, the Tor quotes the Rambam, that even though the owner left it hefker, he left it abandoned, Mikomokum Ein Chayev L'Tapel Bo, the Rambam says you don't have to return it, Echein Kosef HaRama, and the Rama says the same thing, says the Tor, Ein Nirikain. The Tor disagrees. The Aveda Midas Havi Hefker. If the owner abandons his property, we assume that the property is hefker, it's ownerless. The Rambam says that if you leave the corral door open and the animal can wander out, the owner was reckless with the animal, so I'm not under any obligation to return or to protect the animal. I don't have to be more careful than the owner himself, but I can't take the object for myself. That's the Rambam. The Torah says no, that if you were reckless with your money, if you're deliberately not careful with your property, that itself is taken as an act of hefker. It's as if you declared it ownerless, and therefore anybody who wants could keep the object. That's the Tor. So we have a machlokes between the Tor and the Rambam, what this term aveda midas means. Does it mean that the owner was reckless, and therefore I'm under no obligation to protect the object, but I can't keep the object for myself? Just because you were negligent, just because you were reckless, it does not create that the object is hefker. However, the Torah argues and says that if you commit, aveda midas to your own property, it's considered that you are mafker the property. That's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Torah. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Samach Aleph paskins like the Rambam, because that's what the Kesef Mishnah explains, that just because you're being reckless with your property, it doesn't mean that you made it ownerless. So the Shulchan Aruch sides with the Rambam. However, the Ramah paskins like the Tor. It always seems that everything falls out on these party lines here, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, and the Ramah paskins usually like the Rosh and the Tor, that the property is considered to be ownerless. And we already brought the explanation of the Kesef Mishnah, that the Machlekes is Be'umdina. Let's take a step back. What is the crux of the issue? Why does the Rambam say that you have to that you can't keep it for yourself, while the Torah says you can keep it for yourself? The Kesef Mishnah explains that it's a machlekes in umdina. It's a machlekes in the assumption, what was the intent of the owner? It's simply a question in the assumption, what was the intent of the owner? The Rambam holds that the intent of the owner was to be reckless, but he had no intent to declare it ownerless, while the Tor holds that if you are reckless with your money, if you keep your money in such a way where it can get stolen, that is an act of hefker. The machlokes is the assumption assessing the intent of the owner. That's the Kesef Mishnah. Now the Shach says the following. This is an item Yud, The Shach says the following. Lefi ani estaiti, says the Shach, in my humble opinion, lo yordu ladas hatur. The Mefarshim, the Kesef Mishnah, misunderstood the tour, because the Kesef Mishnah says he sides with the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Cairo, he sides with the Rambam. Just because you were reckless, it doesn't mean that you declared it ownerless. Let's assess the owner's intent. Says the Shach, that's not the intent of the tour. The tour didn't mean that we're sitting here speculating why was the owner negligent. The Kavana of the tour does not, his intent is not to argue from Svara. He's not just arguing just out of speculation, that since you were not careful, you probably made meant to make it hefker. That's not the intent of the Torah. The intent of the Torah, says the Shach, and the Shach makes a very broad statement, that any time the Gemara uses the expression of Aveda Midas, the expression means hefker. That's how the Torah translates the words Aveda Midas. It means hefker, because if the owner left it ownerless, it's hefker. The Torah doesn't mean to argue on the Rambam in Svara, with his own rationale, with his own intuition. The Torah is arguing on the Rambam because the translation in the Gemara, Aveda Midas, simply means that it's Hefker. And the Shach brings a proof that Aveda Midas means it's Hefker. We cited this Gemara before, scattered fruit. The Gemara says that how are you allowed to keep it? The owner might not realize that he lost it. He might never have had the formal Yish. So on that, Mar Ukva explains that it was a machnash to the Beidari. He abandoned it deliberately in the threshing house. It's an Aveda Midas. And clearly the intent there, says the Shach, is that you can keep it. The Mishnah had said that scattered fruit you can keep. And the Gemara clarified that the case of the scattered fruit was where you knowingly abandoned the fruit. So says the Shach, we clearly see that Aveda Midas, the translation of the expression Aveda Midas, means that you declared it Hefker. That's what the Shach says. Now the Shach says, unless you'll say that Aveda Midas does not always mean the same thing. If you look at the last line of item Yud, the Shach gives us the Pesach. The Shach gives us an opening. Perhaps the Rambam does not consistently define the Aveda Midas. The Rambam says you left your corral open. That's not an act of declaring it ownerless. But maybe the Rambam agrees that certain situations indicate that you want to leave it hefker. Maybe the Rambam has an inconsistent way of translating Aveda Midas. Sometimes it means it's ownerless. Sometimes it just means that you're not obligated to return it. But the Shach's own feeling is that we should translate the words Aveda Midas consistently. And since at least in two of the places it means that you can keep it, the Shach says, let's consistently define Aveda Midas as hefker. Now, the Ktzois HaChoshen in Simen Reish Samach Aleph has a gewaldige kasha on the Shach. Because how could the Shach say that Aveda Midas always means that it's ownerless? The last case of Aveda Midas, the case of the storekeeper, where the father sent the son, the child, to the store with the change, with the money, and with the jug. The Gemara clearly says that if the child breaks the jug, the storekeeper is exempt, because it's an Aveda Midas. The storekeeper has no obligation to protect the jug from the child if the father himself sent the child with the jug. But at the same time, says the Gemara, if you take the money from the child and you give change to the child and you give the oil to the child, the Tanakhama, the first opinion, holds that you are liable if the child breaks and loses the object. If the money was hefker, says the Ktzais, if when the father sent the child with the money, and the Gemara refers to it as Aveda Midas, if that's an act of hefker, if the money is no longer belongs to the father sent his child off with a $20 bill, and he sent him to the store to buy oil. The storekeeper takes the $20, he gives him $10 change, gives him some oil, the child loses the change and loses the oil, the storekeeper is liable. Why would the storekeeper be liable? When the father sent the child with the $20, the Gemara refers to that as Aveda Midas. If that means that it's hefker, that it's ownerless, then everything the storekeeper does from that point on is a gift, because the storekeeper could have just taken the $20 and kept it for himself. If Aveda Midas is to be taken literally, that it's ownerless,
why is the storekeeper obligated to replace the oil and the change? The storekeeper could have kept the entire $20 for himself, because the owner, the father, sent the child off with $20, effectively being mafkir, declaring the money ownerless. So says the Ktzais, this is a gevaldik akasha, that you see clearly that the expression avei demidas does not always mean that it's hefker. This is almost like a raya she'en aleihu k'shuva, that the expression avei demidas does not always mean that it's ownerless. If it will be ownerless, how could the storekeeper be obligated to replace the groceries if the storekeeper would have been allowed to keep the entire $20 for himself? Clearly, the intent is not that it's hefker. The intent is simply that you're not obligated to guard the jug more than the owner did. That is the Ktzoisis Kasha, a Gvaldika Kasha on the Shach. So now we have a crossroads in front of us. The Torah says that Avei Demidas means it's ownerless. The Rambam says that Avei Demidas just means you're not obligated to return it, but you can't keep it for yourself. Clearly, certain cases seem to imply like the Torah. The Gemara says that you can keep the scattered fruit because the owner left it there deliberately and abandoned it deliberately. Other places clearly indicate, like the Rambam, the case of the jug, that the storekeeper is not obligated to protect the jug. It's avei demidas, but at the same time, the change, the money, still belongs to the father. He did not declare it ownerless. So there's basically a discrepancy. Sometimes avei demidas seems to indicate that you can keep it. Sometimes it does not. Says the Ktzais, We have to grab the solution that the Shach gave us. The Shach says sometimes it might mean this, sometimes it might mean that. Now the Ktzoi says something about it. The Ktzoi says an astounding thing. If the Shach feels that we should consistently translate Avei Demidas, the Ktzoi says, if anything, the outcome should be like the Rambam. Because since we find in the Gemara in Baba Basra that Avei Demidas merely means that you're not required to protect it and return it, but it's not mine, I can't keep it, we should translate Avei Demidas consistently all the way through. And the Ktzais comes up now with a new category. Avei Demidas means not that it's an act of hefker. Avei Demidas means that it gives the object the status of a lost object. It creates an aveda, even though the owner knows exactly where the object is. The owner sent the object, sent the money along with the child, or the owner left it in the garbage dump, or the owner left the barrel open. He left the payrus in the threshing house. It gives the object the status of a lost object, and there's no obligation to return the object because the owner abandoned it. That's the sum total status of the object. It's a lost object which the owner abandoned. There's no requirement to return it. What does that accomplish for us? What that accomplishes for us is that if the owner now is miyayish, despairs, you would be allowed to keep it because there was never an obligation to return it. That would be the pshara. That would be sort of the compromise, how to understand the Rambam consistently through the Gemara. It's not that he was mafkarit. It's not that he was not mafkarit. It gives it the status of a lost object that does not have the requirement to return, and therefore it's subject for yish. And that's how the Ktzois and the Nesivos explain the Rambam. Now, there's a lot of interesting differences that come based on the explanation of the Rambam. We now have two explanations of the Rambam. One explanation of the Rambam is that Avei Demidas means, each time it means something different. And the other explanation of the Rambam is that Avei Demidas gives the status to the object of a lost object that has no requirement to be returned. So the Poskim have a very interesting question. In item Yud Dalet, imagine if a parent gives a child an object based on the Gemara in Baba Basra. So the Gemara in Baba Basra was talking about sending the child to the store with money and with the jug. Imagine if a parent buys a bicycle for a child, or he has a raincoat. He goes to school with his knapsack, with his raincoat, and the child drops the knapsack somewhere, and there's even the name of the knapsack on the child's name is printed clearly on the knapsack. It has a sin. would I be required to return that object to the parents? Clearly, the child left his knapsack in school. He abandoned it. Would I be required to return the knapsack to the parents? Now, if we learn, like the way the Shach suggested, that avei de midas means different things in different places, so then I would have to return the object to the parents, just like the Gemara in Baba Basra says, that the parent retains ownership on the money that he gave the child, I would have to return it. But if we translate avei de midas like the Ktzais, uniformly, that avei de midas gives the object the status of a lost object where there's no requirement to return it. So since the Gemara says giving the jug to the child is avei de midas, there's no requirement to return it. If the child would leave the bicycle behind, you would not be required to return it. You can wait for the parent to despair and keep it. Now, we had in last week's shiur, the shiur of the previous shiurim, that there's lefnim mishuras hadin to return an object even if the owner was miyaych. So, of course, it would be a noble thing to do to return it. But according to the Tzoyce's explanation of the Rambam, there would be no obligation to return any object that a parent gave to his child. Because since he gave it to the child, the owner, the parent, clearly was being reckless with the object, and therefore there will be no requirement on anybody else to be more careful with the object than the child, than the act of shmira of the parent himself. But according to the Kesef Mishnah and the Shach, that the whole Rambam, it's just, everything is just, each case we define it differently. Sometimes avei de midas simply means that the owner wasn't being careful, but the other place avei de midas means that the owner was mafkir. Then there would be no indication that there's a uniform status of a lost object, and you would have to return the object. So halacha lemaisa, it's clear in Baba Basra that when the owner gives his child a jug, he does not mean to make the jug hefker. The storekeeper cannot take the money for himself. According to the Ktzais, however, it would have the status of a lost object that has no requirement for hashava. And according to the Kesef Mishnah, the halacha would be that it totally belongs to the owner and you are obligated to watch it. So the halacha would be that if you found it and the owner was miyayish and the owner despaired, you would technically be allowed to keep it, based on the Ktzais' explanation. However, we did explain last week that lifnim mishuras hadin, you should return it in any case. There's another shaila, and this is item Yud Zayin. What happens if a person, he dumps into the Seamus box? Sometimes a shul has a communal Seamus box. He dumps a packet full of manuscripts into the Seamus box. The owner was planning on just, it'll be carted away and buried, it'll be disposed of properly, and then it turns out that these manuscripts have tremendous value. Maybe for all we know it was Rashi's own Kisveyad, maybe it was Kisveyad from the Ramban, antique, expensive, valuable manuscripts. So what would the Shaila be? So in this case, the person tossed the manuscripts into the Ashba. So he wasn't hiding it there, he threw it out. So there are those who argue that this is clearly an avei de midas. This is clearly an act of hefker, and he was mafker the manuscripts. Anybody who finds the manuscripts would be permitted to keep it. However, the poskim say no, because the Gemara says in Baba Metzia that mechila betois, if a person is moichel in an erroneous way, mechila betois is not a mechila. Since when I threw the Seamus away, I did not realize that the Seamus had value. So therefore, it's a mechila betois, and it still belongs to the original owner. So based on the interpretation here, whether you hold like the Tur or whether you hold like the Rambam, clearly putting these valuable Seamus into the garbage, into the Seamus, these manuscripts, was a mistake. It was a hefker betois. It still belongs to the original owner, and therefore you would be required to return it because the person was only negligent because he didn't realize the true value. There was a famous story that happened not too long ago. It actually happened to a boy who grew up in Ottawa that he purchased a desk from a non-Jew. He purchased a desk, and then he found on the bottom of the drawer that there was taped $10,000 under the drawer. And as an act of Kiddush Hashem, he returned the money to the original owner. This would be an example of a mechila b'toyis. It would be avedus akum. Avedus akum, you might not technically be obligated to return, but there's a lefnim mishuras adin to make a kiddush Hashem. Since the owner mistakenly gave away the desk with the money in it, he had no intent to sell the money, to give away the money. It was a mechila b'toyis, and had it been a Jew for sure, there would be an obligation to return it, and it was certainly a noble act that he returned it lefnim mishuras adin. It created a tremendous kiddush Hashem. It was written up in all the papers, and it created a tremendous goodwill in kiddush Hashem. Yasha koyach, everybody.
I'm not mocking any of those cookies.